Well, I think every Secretary of Labor must cast his role in the context of his own personality and in the context of the times that confront him. And if my concept is different from the concept of other Secretaries of Labor, it is due to both of these factors. The fact that by necessity I'm a different, not necessarily a better person than other Secretaries of Labor, but also I think we have a different situation in our economy and in the world than we ever faced before. We have always operated in our country on the basis that we arrive at good results in the labor management area by the clash of self-interest. And out of this clash of self-interest, we arrive at an accommodation. Now, this is still a very valuable concept, and I have no intention of abandoning that concept. This is a concept which operates within general freedom on the part of employers or labor people to carry on their own affairs in their own fashion, free from control by the government. We have no intention of interfering with that. We want to preserve a maximum amount of freedom. However, the world is so complex today, both economically and in the foreign area. We're in a Cold War. And we will continue, unfortunately, to be in this position, I think, for a long time to come under the most favorable circumstances. And this means that in the labor management area, greater responsibility and restraint is called for than ever before in our history.
The national interest has more importance than
ever before. That is correct. And that being so, it calls, I think, for more activity on the part of a Secretary of Labor than perhaps has been called for in the past. In that sense, I have perhaps been more active than some of my predecessors.
Do you find that since you've taken public office, you've had to change your approach to labor issues?
Well, I think when you take a cabinet office, of course, you face life with a different perspective than you enjoyed when you represented a private interest. However, I would want to say frankly that I brought to my office a set of concepts about life, which essentially I have not changed. I have often said that no one can be completely impartial. However, you have to be honest in the way you approach face problems, and you have to try and understand your own prejudices and seek to overcome them. I think that that is the principal change. On one hand, you are an advocate and a partisan of a point of view that you believe in, and when you take public office, you have a point of view, but you are no longer an advocate or a partisan, and you must balance whatever point of view you have against the overriding public interest.
Well, looking at it from the other side, do you find that your former colleagues in the labor movement are, shall I say, suspicious of you?
There may be a small element in that, but we have a very healthy streak in the United States in our labor movement, which I think is helpful to me. Our labor movement recognizes that the labor movement must be separate from government and must operate freely and independent of government. And conversely, the government must be free and independent of the labor movement. This doesn't mean that we do not enjoy very cordial relationships. But I have said many times, and I think most of the labor movement in the United States would agree with me, that it is good for the labor movement to act as a labor movement, and it is good and necessary for government to act as a government. So I find a great deal of understanding of my role, and I certainly understand the role that the labor movement has to occupy.
Do you find any prejudice from the business side?
Well, I presume, from what I've read and what I have spoken to people about, that the business community, when my appointment was announced, at least some elements of it, wanted to probe this Secretary of Labor, who had been associated with the labor movement for 25 years, yes, as to what his attitudes might be. I had an advantage here, I suppose, that some people might have lacked. I have a widespread acquaintanceship and friendship among people in the business community.
As a result of your law practice.
That is right, and as a result of representing the labor movement.
Yes.
You cannot represent the labor movement responsibly without developing many close associations in the employer community.
Correct.
And I have been the beneficiary of the fact that my friends among the employers have said publicly and among their colleagues that I possess what they believe is objectivity in this office.
I read that when you were appointed, you announced that you would never practice labor law again. Isn't that going to be a tremendous sacrifice for you?
Well, I felt that this was an advisable thing to do for me. I don't recommend it to anybody else. This is not called for by any rule of ethics, even of the most exalted kind. But I felt that in this particular juncture of world affairs, when it is necessary to stress so much the overriding public interest, that it should be clear to everybody that in expressing this public interest, I was doing it in the context where I was free from any organizational ties, past, present, or future. And I made this decision. As I said, I don't recommend it generally. And I feel it was a sound decision. I would, when I return to private life, I will miss the labor practice. I enjoyed it very much. But I have been a lawyer for 30 years. That has not been the only field in which I have had experience. And I will look forward with interest to a new area of activity.